What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Wizards of Gallery Place podcast. Vernon and Damo back on the show, and today we got another guest with us, Felix Tramiel, HTTR, and Bless. Felix, what's going on, man?
What's good? Welcome. I'm glad to be on here with you guys, man.
Yeah.
I never get to talk about the Wizards no more, so this is a fun opportunity.
Yeah, stuck with the football and all that. Now, so actually, if you want to plug this real quick, we'll actually do this at the beginning instead of the end, but what are you doing now?
Well, I am an educator first, so I'm an educator in Alexander City Public Schools, but I cover the Washington football team for 1340 AM Fox Sports, so I'm mainly a football guy, but I am a fan of all sports, and a diehard Bullets fan my whole life before they changed to the Wizards. But I do that. I do a couple of football podcasts, the Washington Wrap, a few other podcasts that I'm on from here to there. But that's what I mainly do. But I am a diehard Wizards fan.
Awesome. Well, we're definitely happy to have you on, and it's nice to have some more people that are in the media on the show and help gain a little bit more credibility, get some different perspectives and all that. So definitely appreciate you taking the time to come on today. So the Wizards had their first preseason game where they lost 125-119 to the Houston Rockets. John Wall did not play. However, we did see Spencer Dinwiddie, Bradley Beal, Corey Kispert, Kyle Kuzma, all the new guys. And then on the other side, we did get to see Jalen Green, Kevin Porter. Damo, watching that game, I know you watched from start to finish. Just overall, what did you think about just the overall game, either stuff from the Wizards or the Rockets' young pieces?
Yeah, I'll start with the Rockets first, man. I love their young talent. I mean, literally every guy that they have as a part of their young core was a guy that I like coming out the draft. From obviously Jalen Green. Kevin Porter Jr. was one of the guys that I loved in that 2019 draft. I feel like with him, if it wasn't for some of the like off the court stories that were out there on him, I feel like he should have been like a top 10 pick, possibly top 5 pick in that draft. And then Sengun, the big man, he's just so skilled at his size. And then they have a young coach in Silas who's been waiting for his opportunity for a while to get a head coaching job. So I really like their young core there. But as far as the Wizards are concerned, I like what I saw. I mean, they from the guys that were are going to be key rotation pieces during the season. I like what I saw. I was a little hesitant on how Aaron Holiday would contribute coming into the year, but he looked great. I feel like him and Neto can play together. And if they can play together throughout the season, that gives you even more depth than what I initially thought they had. It's going to be interesting figuring out who's the odd man in or out at those wing spots. Cause it looks like KCP is going to be locked in at the three. So, you know, where does that leave Denny, Bertans, Kispert? I mean, it's just so many options they have, but I think that's a good problem to have. But on the game itself, I really like what I saw. We saw some ball movement, offense, sets. And defensively, they looked like they were competing. They weren't doing the stupid switches. They were playing man. But they still got to find a way to stay out of foul trouble, particularly the big. So, but I like what I saw. Compared to last year, for sure.
Felix, did you get a chance to watch the game, or did you not get it?
I watched from like the middle of the second quarter to the start of the fourth quarter. Well, halfway through the fourth quarter. So I got a good piece of the game.
Anything in particular that you liked or noticed, or something that you didn't like?
Well, I like that we actually have an offensive agenda, an offensive plan, an offensive set. We were running plays. Now, were they clean? They weren't really clean, but you could see that there was plans to get certain people the ball in certain spots, which we haven't seen in – I can't tell you the last time we've seen that in Washington. But I like that from the team. I did like that we were defending harder. Not necessarily better yet, but that's going to take some time. We got to really learn how to be a good defensive unit. We are deep at the wing, which is amazing because last year that was our glaring weakness. We didn't have a small forward that could really play. Now we have a bunch of small forwards that are going to be fighting for time on the court. I think it's going to get better and get more fluid coming over time, but my problem would be the bigs. We just, you know, until Brian gets back, I don't know about the bigs. And that's going to lend itself to trouble in the Eastern Conference. So I like the defensive energy. I like the offensive movement. But, of course, those things are in the beginning stages. But it's just refreshing to see actual offense being run by the Wizards.
Yeah, some good points. And touching on the center position real quick, I kind of agree with you on that. I think everyone is kind of too heavily invested and too much hopping on the Gaffer train a little bit. And I just kind of want to pump the brakes a little bit. Last year, he was coming off a season, or this year, he's coming off a season where he really had to play limited minutes because of his conditioning and foul trouble. So if those things continue to remain an issue for this season, I'm not exactly sure what his role would be going forward in terms of future seasons, or heck, even as this season progresses. I still think that Thomas Bryant right now is probably their best overall bet at center in terms of overall production. But if Gafford can give you 30 minutes a night, 32 here and there, you know, maybe around the high 20s, I think then I can buy more into that a little bit. But certainly I think his ability and his skill set is a better fit for the team in terms of Bryant. But safe bet overall talent right now, I still think Bryant is the most talented center on the roster. A little bit of stuff that didn't necessarily have to do with the game, but Rui Hachimura is now going to be out for God knows how long. I mean, do we have an update on that? I mean, either one of you guys can chime in. I haven't really kept too much up with it.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of anything on that. Much at all. Like, it hasn't been any press or anything, really.
That's worrying. That's very worrying.
Yes. And I can get some of it sometimes. You know, I don't know if it was just the fans and stuff that kind of ate at him over a while. I mean, at the end of the day, you just got to realize, like, they're either just kids in high school and middle school who just don't really know how to socially function yet, or they're just adults that just want to cry about stuff. You know, it's hard, though, because, like, there's been times in the past where people say stuff to me on social media and, like, I get really irritated by it. So I can only imagine what an athlete has to go through when you constantly probably get people going out of their way to, like, message you if your DMs are open and, like, telling you to kill yourself or jump off a bridge or whatever they have to say. So I certainly understand, but I wonder just how much long-term this is going to bother the team. If he's going to be out for an extended amount of time, I mean, Dama, what do you do with him at that point? Do you just keep him and ride it out based off what we've seen? Or if he's not going to be back, you know, and he's not going to be helping the team, I mean, do you consider other options?
That's a tough one. I haven't really thought about that much because my assumption is that he'll be back sooner than
sure.
But I mean, let's say in a rare scenario that he's not, and it's something where he needs a long leave of absence. I think, you know, you have so much depth at his position that I don't think it's something that really would affect you greatly. You know, between Kuzma, Denny, Kispert, you have a lot of guys that can play in that forward spot. So I don't think it's a pressing thing. So they have the luxury now to kind of give him the time that he needs for whatever that's going on with him. And I hope he gets the help that he needs or the time that he needs so he can come back 100% mentally and physically to be able to help this team. Because I really believe in his talent. So, you know, I don't think you look to trade him or anything like that unless it comes out that it's something you know, I mean, it would have to be something that we didn't know that hasn't been reported yet, like, you know, something criminal or something like that. But I haven't seen anything that's remotely close to that. So you just kind of just wait and see.
Felix, how much do you think that Rui being out will impact this team? Like, how do you view him overall? How do you view his role on this team coming into what his third season now? Just overall, what do you think about Rui?
It's kind of weird for me because I feel like this is definitely Bradley Beal's team, and they went and got him some players who've had some playoff runs, who have that experience. So you're not dependent on Rui to be a 20-point scorer, but this is the year you expected him to see the ball more. You expected him to be able to be a creator, which is when he's at his best. So I think his development is going to be hampered more than a team. I think with him being out, this allows Kuzma and it allows Kispert to really see the floor and really get quality minutes and Harold to play, where he brings that toughness, that edge that will make the whole team better. It's going to really hurt Rui's development more than it's going to hurt the Wizards, in my opinion, because it's going to allow other pieces to play. And he's just not going to develop because he's going to be wherever he's going to be. So I don't think it hurts the team as much. Maybe we start off a little bit rougher because we're starting with some younger talent, but it might make us better in the longer run because that younger talent gets to play more minutes.
Sure, absolutely. I 100% agree with that. Sticking to the game here, I know it's a small sample size, and you both made some good points about this stuff, and I also tweeted this, and I just want fans to understand that even though it seems like we have a better all-around roster and we have a better coaching staff, that might be true, but the reality of the situation is that when you turn over an entire coaching staff, you have a brand-new roster, it's going to take time for them to figure this out. And I know, Damo, when we've been on previous shows, I've made that same point several times. Like, this could be a team that really struggles early on, and it's, oh, they need to tank, oh, they need to rebuild and all that. But then by mid-season, they could really make a stride, and then suddenly they're climbing up the Eastern Conference because of injuries, because other teams are fatigued, and we have that depth to keep up. So I'm not going to be all doom and gloom if the team starts out 1-4, 2-6. I'm not going to give up that soon. It's a totally different time in Wizards basketball. And I think that we need to show Wes Unseld Jr. some patience and just try and be positive right now as the team tries to build an identity, because even though we think we know what guys are going to do, at the end of the day, we have no idea. And we need to give Wes a chance to install his stuff and get the team on the right track, and that's only going to come with playing. It's not going to happen in practice. It's not going to happen in the film room. It'll help you, but there's nothing like getting out there and actually doing the real thing. But Damo, are there any things in particular you liked from Wes Jr. In that preseason game, or do you have anything to follow up from what I just said?
Yeah, just a quick follow up. I'll bet my house that they don't start 3-12.
Sure.
I just think you have an all NBA guard, you have a presumably better fit at point guard, and you have depth down to the 11th man on your roster, assuming Rui is back. So I don't think they start 3-12 like they did last year, where it was a team that had an injured point guard that you're relying on so much, and then Beal you're relying on so much, and then after that, it's a huge drop off. And then that was before we got Gafford too. So you had guys like Troy Brown, Jerome Robinson, those type of guys, Bonga getting heavy minutes. That ain't the case to start this year. So yeah, I don't see them starting 3-12 or going 17-32 for any stretch of the season. And then going on to Wes, as I kind of alluded to earlier, like, you could tell that they were running plays to get guys shots in their spots. I saw Beal setting screens off the ball. Like, we never seen that. We've never seen that. So he was getting clean. He was getting clean looks. Like his 18 points he had were very quiet because they were in the flow of offense. It wasn't him going 1-on-5 top of the key. It was him getting them in spots and just being deliberate, scoring the ball. And it was easier for him. It was finding guys, open shots, Kispert open for threes. Like, it looked like a real NBA offense for the first time since probably Randy Whitman was here. And even his offense wasn't that fantastic, but you get my point. And then defensively, you know, I'm seeing better habits being displayed. They're not doing stupid switches on every screen. You know, they're playing, they're staying on the ground. They're not jumping on every pump fake. So I think those habits, if they keep stacking those good habits, they'll be a solid defensive team. They don't need to be a top 10 defense. Cause that, I don't know that they have the personnel for, but if they could be top 20, I think with the offensive firepower they have, that makes you a playoff team. Cause that's what they were in 16-17. They ranked about 20th in defense, but they were a top 10 offensive team. And of course they were able to win 49 games because of that. So, That's kind of what I'm expecting with Wes, his first year, kind of implementing new strategies there defensively. So, I like what I saw yesterday. I mean, Tuesday, for sure.
Felix, were you a Wes Unseld Jr. guy throughout the whole coaching process, like coaching search process, or did you want someone else?
He was definitely my top pick, or he was either that or 1A. When we had the last opening, I was a Cassell guy because Cassell was really good with Wall and Beal. I liked Wes this go around because I've seen his offensive strategy, and that's what we needed. We played so much hero ball. It's been so much hero ball the last, from the entire Brooks regime. It was hero ball. It was Wall, go get me 25, Beal, go get me 30, or Russ, get me 30, Beal, get me 40, and just try to make these furious comebacks. And it was just not structured. It just became frustrating to watch because they're going to be nice when you didn't have that energy and you would get blown out the building. So I liked Wes for that regard, that we're going to actually have an offensive system. And it's so frustrating to see other young teams develop these systems and they become good quality teams. And you saw the work that he did with Denver. So I was happy that Wes Unseld was brought back. Plus that was a legacy thing for the franchise. So it was a double whammy. So I was extremely excited that they got him, and I feel like he'll get time to implement his system. It's not going to be where you got to make the playoffs this year, which I do think they'll make the playoffs, but it's not going to be you have to go win 45 games your first year out, or you're on thin ice. He's going to get a couple years to implement his system, and I'm excited for it. Don spoke on it. We just need them to be a quality defense. They don't have to be lockdown defenders because most of them aren't good defenders. But if they play good team defense, then we can get somewhere.
Sure, I definitely agree. And then going back, and you said something that I think is a little bit of a misconception with the fan base, like Wes Unseld as a defensive coach. Like, that was just his responsibility, and you were talking about his offense and all that. He is also an offensive guy. Denver gave him his responsibility to be the kind of defensive anchor in terms of on the staff, but they definitely did some offensive stuff as well that came from Unseld, and so he touches both sides of the ball. And what's also going to be crucial for this season is the staff that he brought on board. I think a lot of the time fans kind of overlook the staff that they have. I think it's easier for fans to focus on that side on that sort of thing in football, but in basketball it really isn't talked about a whole lot. And even if he was strictly a defensive guy, well, this is what you bring the assistant coaches in for, to help form your game plan on the other side of the ball. I mean, I can't tell you, like, I hated Brooks' assistants just as much as Scott Brooks. because I'm sitting there on like watching the game on TV, and I'm like, well, what the fuck do you guys do? If they, all they do is come out here and play ISO and play no defense every game, this isn't just Scott. Like, this is legit all of you. Like, all someone has to do is literally say, maybe we should try running this. What's Scott going to say? No? You know, so it's like, I don't know what they talked about in their staff meetings or halftime adjustments or whatever, but it was slim to none. So hopefully this staff that Unseld has put together will be quality and will be good at making adjustments. And to put frankly, just isn't stupid. So I'm excited for that. One player that we didn't get to see in the game was Denny Abdia. And I think it, out of all the stuff that Brooks pissed me off with last season, I think there was nothing more that pissed me off than was treating Denny Abdia like he was Kyle Korver. I hated that for him. I think the Denny criticism was totally unfair mostly throughout most of the season. I know you can talk about the free throw shooting. Well, he's not a great shooter. Well, guess what? In the beginning of the season when they were using him right and posting him up and doing all that, he was. In fact, he was percentage-wise the best shooter at the team on the team at one point. So I'm hoping that this year they won't stick him in the corner. They will post him up. They will let him run pick and roll. They will even let him do ISO sometimes. I remember last year against Miami, I mean, he just went right by Avery Bradley and threw it down at the rim. I don't know if you guys remember that play or not. But yeah, it's stuff like that where I want to see more from him. And I'm hoping Unseld gives him the option to do that. But Felix, I want to kick it back to you real quick because me and Damo have talked so much about Denny. What do you think about Denny overall, and how much better do you think he can get this season?
I was kind of 50-50 on the pick because I didn't feel he was going to be utilized correctly. And I felt the same way with Rui. I wasn't a Rui guy. Right. But my thing was, if we're going to draft these kids, we got to use them the right way. And Denny needs the ball in his hands in the high post. And what did we do? We made him stand in the corner and shoot threes. Like, it made no sense because he couldn't get the ball in his hands because you had two ball-dominant guards who held possession the entire time. So I believe he can be a quality NBA player if we utilize him the right way. Let him get the ball in his hands. Let Beal be off the ball. Like, Beal was such an efficient scorer in those early Whitman days because he was off the ball. We've got to use our players the right way. So Denny, I don't know how much he's going to get to showcase it though, because we have so many players around him. But sure, with Rui out, I think he will get that opportunity because he's going to have to play some minutes, and you're going to need him. And you can have him anchoring a second unit where he has the ball in his hands and he's making decisions with the ball. It's not just him touching the ball, but he has to be able to make decisions. Can he put it on the floor? Can he pass off of it? Is there some type of action on the backside? Like, all that is incumbent on him. If we can do that, he can succeed. But I don't know, because it's dependent on how much he's going to get to really play. And then if he plays, are we using him the right way? And I do believe Wes will understand what he needs to be successful. It's just if he's given the opportunity to do it. And that will remain to be seen. But he needs to get the ball in the high post, just like Rui needs to get the ball in the high post and let them create.
I 100% agree. And you actually made a point that I was going to bring up is, since Rui is going to be out now for a little bit, Denny is going to have to step in and play, because who knows, if everyone's healthy and Kispert's shooting like the way he is and if Kyle Kuzma's putting up points, Denny may be the odd man out to start the season just because he was coming off the injury and all that. So now I think it makes it a little bit easier to play Denny and see what you got. And then maybe once Rui comes back, well, then maybe Bertans is the odd guy out, or maybe it's Kuzma, maybe it's Kispert. But I think now Denny kind of will get a fair shake, especially if Rui is out. And I'm sure they would find ways to get Denny in there anyway. I'm not saying for sure that Denny would have been the odd man out in that scenario, but I think there's a pretty good chance, again, if Kuzma's scoring, if Kispert's shooting, because when you're talking about success for the team, you're talking about guys that fit with Dinwiddie and Beal. And given that they're ball handlers and are going to have the ball and doing all this stuff, naturally you're going to want to put shooters around that. And is Denny a shooter? No. Is Kispert a shooter? Yes. So naturally, even though Denny overall may be better than Kispert fit-wise, you almost have to play Kispert ahead of Denny in that scenario. But Damo, you want to follow up on any of that?
Yeah, I think the thing I worry about most with Denny is him suffering the same fate that Troy Brown did here, because they're both, you know, kind of like, I don't want to say big guards, but they're playmaking wings. So they're guys that who struggle to shoot. So they have to have the ball to be effective. And on this team, you know, with Dinwiddie, with Beal, you got Kuzma, you got Rui, you got Trez that's going to get touches. Like, where are the opportunities for Denny to possess the ball and be a primary decision maker? I just don't know where those opportunities are. So then if he's not getting those opportunities and he has to play off the ball and camp in the corner or pick his spots and make jump shots, and that's not really a strength of his, how effective can he really be? And I feel like that's the fate that Troy Brown suffered, because it's like, are you going to take the ball out of Beal and Dinwiddie's hands to give it to Denny? Is Denny going to outshoot KCP, Kispert? Like, so where's the definitive skill set that you put Denny in the lineup and say, here, I trust you with this over this guy, or as much as this guy, so that he can flourish? And I'm just having, because I think the perfect role for Denny is at the four spot, where he can kind of be like how the Spurs used Boris Diaw, like where he's like a defender, he's a catch it and go point forward, and he's kind of just all over the place, and he can run that second unit at the four spot. But you have Rui, you have Kuzma here. So where does he – you have Bertans here. So it's like, where does he go? I really don't know, and I'm anxious to see how this all plays out, because that's a top 10 pick. So you're not just going to put him on the shelf. So I'm curious to see how this forward spot with everybody involved works out this year.
Yeah, and then before we close this out and talk about what we want to see from these preseason games going forward, what did we think about Spencer Dinwiddie? Damo, I'll start with you on this because I know you watched the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted this when watching. I was like, you know, Dinwiddie is a point guard. And that's no diss to nobody, but he's a point guard. Like, you watch how he plays with pace. He's able to stop and go, and you see him reading the floor in the half court. And trying to look for guys and get them into spots where they can flourish. Like that oop that he threw to Gafford, I was just like, that's what I want to see. That's why you were brought here. You saw the pass he made to Kispert. You know, it was help coming to him. He was on like the right side of the court at the 3-point line, and it was a double that came, and Kispert flashed top of the key, boom, 3-pointer, splash. Like, That's the type of stuff that is going to have you playing top 10 offensive basketball, not a guy at the top of the key just pounding it, going 1-on-5 and trying to force a dump off in the paint, or Brooke Lopez hook shots. Like, that's not going to have you as a top 10 offense. It's just not. So I love what I saw from him, and the explosiveness looked fine. You know, ACLs now aren't what they were 20 years ago or even 10 years ago as far as the recovery is concerned. So and his, I think, was a partial tear. It wasn't even a full tear. So if he can get back to the level that he was at 18, 19 or even better, where he's like, you know, 20 and 8, 20 and 7. I think the Wizards are going to be in a good shape, because from what I saw a real point guard there that can flourish in the half court, and that's going to make everybody better.
Yeah, and I was watching for that kind of stuff, like how he was like you said, the lobs to Gafford and the finding Gafford, because the narrative from Russ fans was, well, he basically made Daniel Gafford. He made Rui and that kind of stuff. And I'm looking at Dinwiddie doing the same stuff, and I'm like, well, there goes your argument, because we have another point guard doing the same thing. And again, I think he's just overall, he's just a better fit. And he seems to have a good tempo and a good pace to the game that I think is going to be very welcomed, especially with a guy like Bradley Beal. But Felix, what do you think about Dinwiddie?
I like what Damo said, and that is not a shot at Russ. Russ is who Russ is, but Dinwiddie is a, what we would say, a natural point guard. He's going to get the ball to the right spots to the right people, and that's going to make everybody better, because it's not just going to be four guys watching the ball and watching one guy with the ball try to break down the defense, and maybe I'll get this lob at the rim. It's going to be actual ball movement, and that's what the league is now. All the good teams in the league can move the ball, and we weren't good at moving the ball. So I think Dinwiddie is going to be good on that end. I mean, if you look at the last three point guards the Wizards had, they've gone from Gilbert Arenas to John Wall to Russell Westbrook. That's a tough three to follow, but I don't think Dinwiddie's coming to be that star point guard. He's coming to be a key cog in a good offense. So we no longer need the superstar point guard. We just need a point guard who can distribute and still get you 20-some a night. But we don't need him to dominate the ball and dominate possession like the last three point guards we've had. And that's not a slight on any of those three. But this team is going to be different. And if we had a team full of just knockdown shooters, then it would be different. Our attack would be different. We don't have a bunch of knockdown shooters. So we're going to have to rely on ball movement to get good open shots. And Dinwiddie is going to put the team in position to do that. He's smart. He's an okay defender. He can be a better defender, but I think he'll fit right in. I think he'll be able to lead Wes's team on the court, and that's exactly what we need out of him.
Sure, and I think going to your point, like the whole open shots that we don't have a lot of shooters and all that, I think that kind of ties in together. You know, if you're moving the ball really well, you create more open looks, which means that ideally your percentages should go up. Last year, I just remember Garrison Matthews taking a bunch of contested three-pointers, Bradley Beal having to do step-backs at the end of the shot clock and all that, and it's just you can't do that for a long period of time. Like, Beal's threes last season were actually set shots. Like, I'd be interested to know that that ratio in terms of set shots to overall three-pointers. So I'm sure there's a number on that somewhere, but...
Yeah, I was looking at that stuff earlier when we were talking about Beal's three-point percentage dropping over the last 4 years, and a lot of that was attributed to him taking more threes off the dribble instead of in a catch-and-shoot format. So, sure. Yeah, definitely.
Sure.
And he was shooting more. Like, you never got a greener light than Scott Brooks. Never. So he was just shooting them, and a lot of times he had to because we were down.
Yeah.
It went from, if I remember correctly, it went from like 60-40 catch and shoot to off the dribble when he was playing with Wall under Whitman to like 30-70 catch and shoot to off the dribble. Yeah, wow. Like it's like 70% of his threes are off the bounce, you know. And usually if it's off the bounce, it's probably contested. And like, that's just not a good ratio for a 6'3 guard. Like he's not Steph Curry. He's not Dame Lillard or Kevin Durant. Like just, that's not his game. So, you know, but I Scott Brooks is gone. So hopefully we don't have to see that no more.
And we have a lot of players that can execute in the catch and shoot situation. Now we have Beal. Dinwiddie was 2 of 5, I think, from 3-point range the other night, which 40%, you'll take that. Yep. Kispert, Rui even this season, Thomas Bryant, Bertans, did I already say Kuzma? I don't know if I did or not, but I mean, those are all guys that can do well in catch and shoot situations. But part of that is being able to do your job and move the ball to create open looks. And that happens by getting your guy off the bounce and forcing the defense to move. This was the issue with Russ and Brad last year was if they scored off ISO, it was because Brad did a step back or Russ did something good. But there was a lot of the time, like you guys said, where everyone just kind of stands around and doesn't create open looks. And a lot of that is because Brad and Russ just didn't lose defenders. Their defenders stayed on them. So even though like teams double teamed or sometimes triple teamed based on defensive game plan, it wasn't necessarily because Beal was beating his guy off the ball. So I would just add that as well this season in terms of the ball movement and getting the open shots. But Felix, final thoughts. What do you want to see from the Wizards for these remaining preseason games and going into opening night?
I think you decide that back end of the roster. Just see where you're going to be with those 11th and 12th guys, what you're going to do. Like a guy like Cassius Winston, if you have all your players, I mean, I think he needs to go down and play some ball and not sit on the court and watch. I'm going to sit on the bench and watch. I'm more interested in that. Preseason basketball is weird because it depends on what a team's going to do. Are they going to mimic a regular game where you start your starters and bring them back in at the end of the second, play them in the third, bring them back in the fourth, or you do something different? They might play beginning of each half. Biggest thing is no injuries, of course, and just get all the pieces kind of working together. Just give short time to your starters so they can get a little flow with each other, just get a little rhythm together. So game one is not just blah, here we go, and they haven't clicked yet. So that's pretty much what I want to see, that those 11th and 12th spots, what are you going to do there? And then no injuries. And let's just see, I know you're not going to show all the offense, but let's just see plays. And if we're working on getting corner threes, work on sets to get corner threes. And that, and win, lose, or draw, that's what we're looking for. So that's all I'm looking for in preseason.
I agree with your point, actually, that I think the starters should play more this preseason because, again, with the new system and so many new pieces, I do think that the starters should play in every game. Now, if you want to take them out after their first little stint in the last preseason game or whatever, like what do we have? Is it four preseason games?
I was looking at that earlier. I think we got three more.
Yeah.
That'll be the next tomorrow. Yeah, we have three more. The Raptors and the Knicks again.
Right. So I think this is a good opportunity to get the players used to the system, get some of the guys used to playing with each other and all that. But, Dama, what are you looking for these last three games?
Really more the same I saw in the first game. Offensive plays, sets, guys moving off ball movement, and defensively not switching, good habits, not jumping for pump fakes, the big staying out of foul trouble, and just guys doing what they do, being in a position to do what they do best. Kispert, his IQ, off ball ability, shooting, Dinwiddie, his driving ability, half court play, finding guys, Beal being the elite scorer he is. Gafford playing above the rim, rebounding, dunking on guys, blocking shots. Just more of the same. Just guys being in a position to do what they do best. And then defensively, like I said, just playing sound, fundamental basketball. Nothing crazy. They ain't got to do nothing crazy and look like, the 04 Pistons defensively. But just, sound defense, man. Nothing stupid. and then, we go into the season healthy, man.
Yeah, I agree. And the one thing I'll add in terms of player-specific things that I want to see, Bertans get into a rhythm, because if this first preseason game was any indicator of how this season is going to go, Tommy should have traded him for 2 second-round picks over the summer, and we just should have been done with it. So that's one thing that I want to see going into these games, is get Bertans ready, make sure he gets his reps, give him 7 to 9 attempts a game. I need to see the Bertans that we saw a couple years ago back on the floor this season, because that will be the X factor this year. We can talk about Dinwiddie. You can talk about the leap from Rui, Denny, the addition of Kuzma, whoever. If we get the Bertans that we got 2 years ago this season, we are going to be just fine, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
I would agree. I would say, though, as far as trading them for 2 second-round picks, you want that. You need that contract to get the player back that you really, really want. So I don't know about trading him for 2 second-round picks, because what he making? He making like, what, 16 mil annually?
Yeah, I'm about to say it was 16 over five, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So Bertans, to me, and I've always felt this way, that he's like he's the salary filler guy, you know, when you go bring that big piece in. And you need that, because if you're talking about putting something, a third piece, a legitimate piece after Dinwiddie and Beal, you need that contract that you can send back to get some better back. So I think Bertans is that guy.
Sure. I think he has to be. Yeah, for sure. Well, I think that's going to do it for us today on this episode. We'll try to get back. We'll definitely be back before the regular season starts, but I'm not quite sure if we're going to do this after every preseason game. Probably not, if I had to guess, but happy to have the season kicked off again, and we'll be recording with you guys now more on a consistent basis. And again, happy to be back doing this. Thanks to Felix once again for coming on and taking the time, and we will see you guys next time.